Denham Brown for three. No good. By George, the dream is alive.
This is Otis Livingston II, point guard of the George Mason Patriots, and y'all are rocking with By George, the podcast.
By George, season four. Jones, can you believe it?
I really can't. Like, we are here. It is game day. We are actually playing a meaningful basketball game in, 7 hours. I'm absolutely ecstatic. Like, let's go.
And so season four represents the so this is By George is entering our fourth season covering the team. Just to plug ourselves a little bit, we are a By George is a podcast that's affiliated with GiantKiller.co. The Giant Killer team is now bigger than ever with four staff writers, a new social media guy. We got Ron still snapping photos, Chris on social media, and David running the website and me kind of overseeing it all. So pretty excited. I think you're going to see some changes in our coverage this year. But, preseason, we always have to have a kickoff predictions pod. And we're never really right, but that's the fun of it. So why don't you go ahead? Why don't you go ahead and kick that off?
This is probably my favorite podcast that we record.
Yeah. Okay. And you may even debate some.
Right.
You'll find out. Let's start this off.
I hope we do. And it won't be like that, like, fake me out ESPN debate show type stuff. This will be an honest debate. So I let's get started. And I just want to touch on the fact that it is the fourth season. Mason historically has a good, there's some sort of karma with four, I feel, with Mason and four. So hopefully we get some good vibes going this year. But I want to start off with your prediction on our out-of-conference record. And I'll start just by going down, I believe it's 13 games. My overall record for us out-of-conference is 9-4. Our wins being versus Penn, American, Georgia Southern versus Southern. We're going to beat North Carolina Central, in Morgan State, James Madison. And at the very end, I have us beating Kansas State. Kansas State. So Kansas State, they are probably going to be the best team we play all year. And I say this because I actually have us losing versus Cincinnati and or, Baylor or Ole Miss. So I think we're going to notch at least one Power 5 win this year. And I don't really see us winning something early on down in Florida. So I think at the tail end of that out-of-conference schedule, we're going to pull off an upset versus Kansas State, there's no connection between the Michael Beasley-led Kansas State team that we beat back in, 2009. But I still feel like maybe there's some sort of connection with, maybe we have Kansas State's number or something. But I could see us pulling one upset because if we're going to be a legitimate – tournament team, we have to make, one splash move. We have to make one, upset. We're going to take down someone. So I figured it's going to be Kansas State. So who do you have us beating in our out of conference and what do you have our out of conference record at?
So to recap that, you had Mason out of conference at 9-4 with losses to Vermont, either one of the Baylor Ole Miss teams, and who else?
Cincinnati.
And William and Mary.
William and Mary. I don't think I didn't like last year's matchup versus William and Mary. I thought we looked exposed, if they retained most of their talent, then it just doesn't bode well for this year. And we're going to lose, to a mid-major school, so why not, William and Mary? So that was sort of my thought process there. So what do you have?
Jonesy, 9-4. I have us at 8-5. Major differences from you would be a loss to Georgia Southern, who is kind of a dark horse in mid-major play this year. Also lost to Cincinnati, Baylor, Ole Miss combo, and then Vermont as well, which puts me at an 8-5 out of conference. because I actually have us losing to Kansas State. I don't have us beating any of these kind of top tier teams. And maybe that's because the scrimmage kind of led me astray. You know, I think we could be a really good mid-major team. I think we'll compete really well in A-10 play, but I still don't know if we have the firepower to compete with some of these larger schools from behind the three-point line, because that's where you have to be able to keep up. May not be able to pound in the post, but you know, if we have from everything I've seen from both the three-point shooting contest at Mason Madness, some of the stuff I've seen from Spain and the scrimmage, we don't look like a very good three-point shooting team. And until Green can show me that he can hit threes in game play, then I'm just not too sure where those threes are coming from outside of our two seniors. And so that's what kind of has me losing to all those kind of Power Five schools. But get out of the conference 8-5, 9-4. I think we can't really complain with that.
Yeah, and I think the one toss-up game that I would like to include that could go either way would actually be tonight's game versus Penn. They're preseason predicted to finish second in the Ivy. The Ivy isn't so much of a joke anymore. So it's relatively a more legitimate conference now. And I think we're traditionally not too sharp when we start a season. I know that we've lost to Colgate. I know that we lost to maybe Brown a few years back. We barely beat Lafayette last year by two. So, you know, Paulson in his home openers is about as good as, Jay Gruden is in his openers. You know, just we're not so sharp. And so I think we could lose tonight, but I do have a still penciled in with a win. I just think we have too much firepower. But let's move forward to the starting five. Now, they already did release a starting five lineup for tonight, which was kind of surprising, where they featured Javon Green in the place of Grayer. So that's a little bit of a surprise, but I think personally my prediction on who I want and who I think will start, they're actually the same. It's Otis, Kyer, Grayer, Marr, and then Jared Reuter. So that's my starting five. I don't think I really have to justify it. I just think those are probably the best five guys, you know, to sort of start a game with. And, you know, they're older and they're wise, and I think that they kind of cover all the skill sets that we need. So that's who I'm predicting. Even though Grayer's not starting tonight, I think maybe that's a lingering injury type thing. I don't really know, but I think he'll end up being a starter by, midseason or even just in the next few games. So who do you have starting?
I always kind of saw Grayer as a better coming off the bench guy, someone who can kind of bring some stability to that second unit, hit shots, guard 1-4 positions. You expect your two seniors with 1,000-plus points to start. So I'm kind of on your page where I think, that may happen. I'm curious to see. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to DP about this yet or anybody, but I certainly will tonight and find out, if it is because of an injury, or maybe he just hasn't played enough. Looking back into their Spain play, he didn't really play too much. Maybe that has more to do with it. But, I've been kind of saying Green is going to, cement himself into the starting lineup. And if that was the case, then who is the odd man out? And I wonder if Grayer is at the point where, he's logged a lot of minutes as a Patriot. And maybe he's to the point where he's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And, just because you don't start doesn't mean you don't close the game out. So I would actually agree with you on this eventual starting lineup. But I want to throw out a starting lineup that I'd like to see. Obviously, the By George boys, super high on A.J. Wilson. And, some would say that, maybe he was a little bit undisciplined last year. Maybe he went for too many blocks. Maybe he took himself out of the play a couple times on defense. But, I just think that, you combo him in with Otis, Kyer, Marr, AJ, and Reuter, and you have a pretty massive lineup, an athletic lineup, a lineup that can pretty much switch everything besides the center position. You're long. I think that's a lineup that could play some full court D. I don't anticipate ever seeing it. I've asked Paulson about Amar, AJ, and combined with a center lineup ever since AJ came to George Mason. And at the scrimmage, we did see AJ playing the four with Kalix at the five, and so that was that was at least a glimpse into, you know, not pushing AJ to be a backup center and more so playing that stretch four position, which I know he can do really well. He can hit outside shots. So that's just like when looking at us playing power five opponents and the size and the ability for them to score from all over the court, I just think that we're going to have to do something like that. Now, is that going to ever be our starting lineup? Absolutely not. But doesn't mean that it can't be a second quarter adjustment. I think that there's potential there. So
yeah, I'd probably liken that lineup to, you know, they would eventually be on the court together to give some people some rest. I'd like to see it, but you know, I doubt we'll ever see a starting lineup.
No.
With those particular guys on the court. But that's just me.
But what we've seen from Paulson. Is an ability to put in a game closing out lineup. You know, for example, Green played in the tournament. I mean, it was pretty evident that he was going to get a lot of playing time this year. I think you saw
Paulson.
What?
Green has some off-season hype this year. I think he could fill a greater role fairly well. I still think he may be a tad young, unpolished offensively, but I do think he's getting there. But I personally think Grayer has one of the best, if not the best, deep shot on our team. Otis probably the best shot, but Grayer just gives us that depth around the perimeter and just that additional size. He's listed at 6'5", but he's big. Like, he's got, you know, he's muscular and he could defend and switch.
He's easily maybe our best rebounder.
Such a lock to, yeah. And I just think he needs to start. But yes, I would understand if he came off the bench like within a minute or two of any starting lineup. You know, to me, starting lineups, it's whatever. It's fluid. It kind of goes wherever after the first like minute or two. So. Let's move on, though, to the actual overall placement of this team in the grand scheme of things. So I'm going to start with what place do we finish in the A-10? So without running through all the teams, Petey Buckets already kind of did that. I'm just going to say flat out, we're going to finish in third place. I'm not going to list who's below or above us.
It's kind of a crapshoot. So,
it is a crapshoot. I don't think anybody really knows, but St. Louis and Davidson always, you know, they have the hype. I could probably see them finishing ahead of us. But Mason, they are a better team this year because they didn't lose anybody and they gained people, and I just don't see us falling below where we finished last year, which was fifth. So anybody who's predicting, you know, I'm seeing Ken Palms and all these other rankings, you know, shooting us sixth, seventh, you know, randomly. I just don't see that. I think we have to move up a spot or two just with what everybody else, you know, lost and what we kind of held, maintained, and then, you know, gained with our addition of Jared and our freshmen. So that's just my perspective. And then I'll also do one up, where do we finish in the A-10 tournament? I'm going to say just outside of the final championship weekend. I think we're good enough to get to the championship weekend. I say, you know, we'll probably just come up short, maybe finish third or fourth in the A-10 tournament. But, you know, that's a hell of an improvement over years past. I think this team's good. They could obviously make a run. But, you know, I don't know. So this is just my prediction. So where do you see us finishing in the conference standings and then in the A-10 tournament?
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't have Rhode Island as your, you know, yes, some teams kind of maintained and maybe got a little bit better, but your kind of powerhouses of the last couple of years, last few years, aren't as good this year. Looking at a Rhode Island, a Dayton, a VCU, I mean, they're maybe, you know, they're all in PV's tier two. Now, is PV the Bible? Of course not, but the man studies more A-10 than I do. And, I'm thinking he's probably pretty accurate with that. We got to see what Rhodes can do with VCU. We got to see what the new coach in Rhode Island is going to do and Grant. I mean, there's been a lot of turnover And that's why us Mason fans are super excited about this year, because there's an opportunity. The opportunity is obvious. Do we take control of it or not? Is, you know, for the Patriots to decide. But I see us finishing as high as second. I think we're going to be stable. I think we're going to be able to compete with everyone in the A-10. Will we have some bad losses? Will we lose a game to, like, Fordham? Probably, because that's been our track record of the past few years.
Well, not but, Fordham. Don't go that low. Don't go that low. You could say maybe, you know, a Dayton or something, but
we lost to Fordham last year. We lost to Fordham the last 2 years. So, you know, it's not something that I'm excited about, but I just think that we're going to see a lot of parity again, the A-10, a lot of teams kind of beating up on each other, and you're going to see kind of a scramble to finish top four, just like we've seen the past couple of years. Mason's going to be the beneficiary of a couple big wins and finish second. I'm with you. I think down the stretch, you know, we'll see what our guys can do. Can Otis and Grayer stay healthy playing 30-plus minutes for another full season? I mean, I think that's a big question mark. If one of those two players goes down again, I think we're kind of in trouble. So I think the A-10 tournament, you know, I'm kind of wait and see, but I think we get to Saturday, have a meaningful game, and I think that's pretty exciting for the program. Yep. So second, I got to finish second in the season, third or fourth in the tournament. Let's move on to breakout player. This is a player that, you know, you think is just going to really come in and kind of take over a spot and really dominate and have no question about their placement on this team and really provide us either a spark within the starting lineup or off the bench. Who do you got?
So the player that I have breaking out, so the, you know, breakout player to me is defined by someone that, you know, he's not really on anybody's radar currently, and perhaps maybe the expectations are somewhat low, but the overall performance will far exceed sort of what those expectations are. And so I personally have Javon Green as that breakout player. He'll be a sophomore. Again, like you alluded to earlier, that, you know, Paulson wasn't scared to use him in the A-10 tournament, which there's got to be some sort of faith there. He must see something because he logged a ton of minutes in that UMass game in the A-10 tournament. So he has also sort of that skill set that, you know, we're ideally looking for in a shooting guard. So he's got some length. He can post up on D. He can shoot the deep ball very well. He can get to the rim. I'd like to see him get to the rim more often and get to the line, ideally. But, you know, a lot of the preseason hype was around Green, right? Sort of what he did in Spain and the secret scrimmage. So, you know, there's a lot of hype around him, and I'm kind of buying in. I've wanted to see him explode, and I think maybe this will be the year where he, you know, he finally does. I mean, it's obviously only his second year, but I don't know. That's kind of who I see breaking out.
Well, there was high expectations going into last year after the Virginia Tech game. There was a lot of hype. Everyone was talking about his shooting in practice. And we didn't really see much of that until A-10 play, and he did get opportunities. And so, you know, I'm interested. You know, breakout player, I define it a little bit differently, and that's why I put Jared Reuter as my breakout player, because I think, you know, he's still pretty unknown in the A-10. The guy wasn't just a shoe into UVA. He had to go to a couple prep schools. He had to put on some height, had to gain some size still. And, you know, never really got a true opportunity at UVA. We don't know what we're going to get. And judging from the scrimmage, he didn't really rebound that well over Hofstra. Yeah, he finished with 10-10, but I think you could have finished with 10-10. So, you know, I would say that in order for our team to be relevant, he has to be our breakout player. You know what you're going to get from everybody else. We've seen them. Yeah, they're going to be a little bit better. Kyrie's going to get to the basket a little bit more. Maybe his shot's a little bit faster. But I'm thinking Jared Reuter, if he bombs, we bomb. And that's why I need and predict him to be Mason's breakout player.
I'm thinking you're identifying him as an X factor, but in terms of breaking out, this man was, you know, he's in national articles about top transfer players. You know, he was number 11 on a Sports Illustrated top transfers in the nation. So I do think the expectations are there for him to deliver. Paulson's kind of hyped him. So, you know, maybe we'll disagree on him breaking out. But, yeah, he is an unknown commodity, and he will sort of, you know, will go as Jared goes. So I'll agree with that. But let's move on to team MVP. You know, this is going to be the shortest segment ever. I mean, it's Otis, done, you know, move on. Who do you have as team MVP?
Otis Livingston, the second. So
yeah, we're good.
There's no talk about it.
We know what he is.
There's no better day to find your patriotism than today.
Right. And this is, we're not disrespecting Otis in any way. This is actually more of you know, a compliment. Like, there's no need to even discuss him. He's just that damn good. So let's move on to freshman impact player. Probably going to agree on this one too. But I'm saying JDS, Jason Douglas Stanley. I think he has sort of what we're looking for in a deep perimeter shot, or a reliable shot. I know that we've been looking for that, whether it was Kamari Newman or Green. But I do think that, you know, as a freshman, Jason Douglas Stanley will hit his shots. Some of his videos from high school up in Mount Vernon are just ridiculous. I feel like I'm watching a future NBA player. Now, I'm not predicting that at all, but he just has a knack for scoring. It looks effortless. You know, I don't know when we're going to see him break out, but, you know, I just feel like out of all the freshmen, he has, you know, the most upside to me personally. So what about you? Are you looking at Jordan or Hartwell or anybody else?
We are in a disagreement, Jonesy. And this is why.
Oh.
You know, and little side note, because, you know, I always like to plug ourselves. JDS's uncle, big By George fan, listens to all of our podcasts, even before he got here, when he signed, like right after last Mason Madness. He's a podcast downloader, and hit us up, DM'd us, and said, you know, keep it up. Asked us why we hadn't done an interview with his son, or with his nephew yet. But maybe I got something dropping today, so stay tuned. I have Hartwell. Why? Because I've been begging for a point guard, a backup point guard to Otis, since Otis got here. So the question mark on Hartwell is, does other guys step up and be that backup point guard, like a Green or a Kyer? Very much plausible. So, you know, Hartwell may not be that breakout freshman immediately, but judging from everything that I hear and read and see for myself, the guy really, you know, for some of his, you know, issues with size that he can't control, the guy can move the ball. He's probably the best passer on the team at this point, and he can step back and hit the three. He's almost like a little Otis clone, but he may be a little bit better as a freshman than Otis was. So I think you got an opportunity there to really come in with a brand new lineup. And if that second group includes Grayer, which is why I, you know, kind of praise his stability coming off the bench, and then you add in a Hartwell and a Boyd and a Kalich and an AJ, I'm thinking that team can compete with, you know, the bottom feeders of the A-10, honestly. So, you know,
yeah,
I think that, you know, if Hartwell can stabilize that position in that backcourt, then, you know, I'm going to be sized.
And I agree with you. Hartwell probably it will be the more important freshman. So in terms of impact, he'll probably have the bigger impact. I mean, I think if JDS doesn't score, hit his threes, we're going to be just fine. But if Hartwell is turning the ball over, or, you know, making errors, you know, that we're going to be in a world of hurt. We need Otis to get some, you know, rest during some of these games, because he's just logging too many damn minutes. So, yeah, I'll agree with you with Hartwell. I just think that JDS just looks silly. But either way, let's move. This one's kind of a random one, but is there a guy that you're personally pulling for to make, like, an impact? So this would kind of be, like, your favorite player that, you know, you secretly pull for. Do you have anybody like that?
It's got to be Buzzer Beater Boyd. Why? Because he legitimately, like, made our season fun and relevant last year. Got himself on the Sports Center. showed that he can hit the big shot, shows that he can grind on the block for a rebound. He can play defense. And my favorite part about him is his ability. And now his freshman year, he used to travel all the time, but he's now enhanced his game. He can shot fake, jab step, and go right by a defender, get into the key, force the back line of defense to come up on him, potentially opening up a passing lane for a big guy. And also he can kind of hit that little easy floater in the key as well. So I just, you know, the guy doesn't say much. He's turned down by George interviews, but I don't care. I still love him. And you know, he's just kind of your silent assassin. And those kind of guys end up being streaky good. And I think he already kind of showed it last year.
All right, so the guy I'm personally pulling for to make an impact this year is Greyer. I've always thought that Greyer has all the tools to be something truly great. I mean, he just has this, you know, size and athleticism and shot and everything to sort of be a superstar. And I'm really hoping for him to pull it all together this year, his senior year, similar to a Jalen Jenkins. You know, there was always a lot of hope and potential with Jalen, but he really put it together that senior year. And so I'm kind of hoping, you know, a lot of people want to look ahead to the future, but I'm still stuck on Greyer. I still really want him to be something big. And I really think he could be something big if he's healthy. So moving on to the sixth man off the bench, who do you envision being that big spark plug? And I think I know who you're going to say, but for me personally, I see the quintessential sixth man as Ian Boyd. He can kind of come in for anybody. He could sub in for, you know, positions 2, 3, or 4 and put up some meaningful minutes. He has the range. He could shoot deep. He could also, you know, bang it down low. You were alluding to that, you know, he's developed that sort of teardrop floater type shot that he will come down the lane with. And then he's also clutch. I mean, we talked about the buzzer bearder effect. He definitely has this knack of scoring late. And, you know, he's just all around just a solid presence on the court. So sort of the jack of all trades coming off the bench, that's kind of who I see as the sixth man. What about you?
So I'm going to switch up my answer just because I feel like we've harped on Greyer for too long, and we really don't know if he's going to come off the bench or not. So I'm going to have to go Greg Kalixt. And the reason why is because When is the last time we had a backup big man with starters minutes? You know, like I can't think of any time. Like even Marco was a starter. Sometimes he came off the bench. Jalen Jenkins was a starter at one point, then came off the bench and then started again. But you know, I think Kalix just has that raw size. Last year, and I even in the scrimmage this year, I noticed he has a much better chemistry right now at the pick and roll game with Otis than Jared does. I think, you know, he's also just has more mass than Jared does. I kind of like his sort of angry play. It likens it to like a former Mike Moe. I'd like to see him even become more of a Bass brother on the court because you don't – last year – We couldn't afford Kalix to get in foul trouble because then it was right back to Marr being your 5, Greyer being your 4. Greyer was hurt. Now who's your 4? So, you know, Kalix can come in and kind of rumble a little bit. You know, he gets 2 quick fouls, he comes out. You put Jared back in, you get AJ who has time at the 5. And so I just kind of see him as an enforcer for the Patriots and something I think that the A-10 doesn't really have and the backup big man level that Kalix provides us. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, he's a favorite of mine.
Think about the chip on his shoulder too, sort of, you know, kind of given the keys to the 5 spot his freshman year. And he did a great job with it. And then to sort of, you know, concede that role to, you know, Jared, it's a tad unfair. And I hope it pushes him even harder. Which kind of leads me to this next segment, which is so I'm going to kind of have like a you know, we make a deep run if we, and then, you know, fill in the blank. So I'm just going to kind of go on some of my bullet points. You know, if we're going to be a good team this year, a few notes. I think, A, we got to develop our younger guys early so that we can get them, you know, minutes so that they can make an impact later on during conference play. You know, we don't need to run with all of our juniors and seniors early. You know, we kind of know what we're getting. The upside is, you know, limited there. But I really want to throw some of our freshmen out there during some of these random games versus Southern or, you know, American, you know, teams that we expect to beat. Maybe we want to throw some younger players out there. We could develop them and see what we have. Another point is Reuter's got to deliver. I mean, we have a lot riding on him. And if he doesn't, you know, I don't know where we're going to be. Obviously, we'll default back to Kalix. But, you know, he really has to bring some additional offensive and defensive help if we really want to make any type of a run. Additionally, Kalix and Reuter have to push each other for playing time. I think in practice, if we develop a competition, that's probably one of the healthiest things you could have on a team. You know, two guys vying for the same spot, one earned it, one has yet to earn it, but has all the, you know, the pedigree coming into it. So it's an interesting battle that, you know, I'd like to see sort of who wins that. Otis needs rest. That's going to be big. Otis can't be gassed by the A-10 tournament, so Hartwell really needs to provide meaningful minutes. If we can get Otis's minutes down by 5 minutes from last year, that'll add up. I mean, that'll add up to, you know, hours of game time. So those are my big points on why we would make a run. Those are some of the things that we need to do. What do you see that we need to do in order to sustain any type of success this year?
So I think you pretty much, you know, hit the chicken right on the head. But I think that one thing, you know, I can add to that is, you know, basketball is all about hitting the three. If you can't hit the three, you're probably not going to win. If you can't defend the three, then you're definitely not going to win. And that's something that we haven't really proven that we can do yet, is defend the three and, we, you know, hit threes. And one thing, that's why, you know, I always get up in arms about running a full court, because what that full court defense, because what that does is it speeds up the offense. Often we want to stay home. We want to switch properly. And we want to, you know, just kind of, you know, get our hands in the passing lanes and force people to the perimeter. But we haven't done a great job of forcing bad shots yet. So can we do that? We're now in the fourth season of Paulson. You know, are we going to see his defense step up here? And that's what everyone's been telling me. Wait, give him time. Let the seniors get older. And now it's time to kind of prove it. Or your boy Brian has been right for a while now. And so I think that that's got to be the biggest, you know, biggest obstacle for me, as if we're going to be a good team or not, is do we hit the threes and do we defend the three?
So let me get this straight. You're going to stick to the same talking point we've had for the last 4 years about we're going to succeed if we run a full court press. What are you going to say next? We need size? Is that what you're going to say next?
Well, we went out and got size. So, you know.
So that leads me to the next segment real quick. We will bomb if we blank. And so I'm going to just list off some things. If we do these things, we're going to completely fall apart. So my first point is actually to size. If we choose to go small and we don't utilize our size, we're just completely giving up on sort of, I think, is a benefit of our team right now. It's an advantage that we have. We have this guy like Mar who could really stretch the court. We've got a guy like AJ, just long, athletic, rangy. And then you have our two big men. You know, if we don't utilize these guys and we choose to go small late in games just, you know, so we can have additional shooters, you know, I get it sometimes, but we really have to take advantage of what we have. This roster has got some decent size, and I think we need to utilize it. Shooting poorly from deep, you made that point. Hopkins was a terrible indicator of how we're going to be moving forward. We started out 0-12, finished 1-17 from deep. The three-point competition at Mason Madness looking kind of suspect. And additionally, if we only shoot deep, so we took 17 three-pointers versus Hopkins, which is a tad concerning because Hopkins is 6'5", 6'4", 6'3", white dudes. You don't really need to shoot threes bang it down low with Jared, bang it down low with Kalix, or you know, get to the basket or something. But there was no need to shoot 17 threes, especially to make only one. I mean, that's just bombed. You have to acknowledge that you're not going to be making them move on. Don't launch the extra threes. Another point is, if we don't get to the line, we have to get to the line, and everybody has to get to the line. This just can't be Otis only getting to the line. I want to see Kyer get to the line. I want to see Grayer get to the line. I want to see Green get to the line. I saw Jared get to the line, and he has a great free throw shot. That's a huge benefit, having a big man that can shoot decent free throws. So that's big. We need to get to the line, get our free throw shots. We're going to bomb if we limit AJ's athleticism. We have to find ways to exploit this. We really have to utilize AJ's ability to bounce, whether that is drawing up a few alley-oop type plays. But the man is a freak, and if we're not utilizing the freak, then what the hell is he? I mean, at this point, he's just going to be, you know, what? So we have to utilize that, and then we have to end those really, like, deep scoring droughts, which kind of was a problem last year. It kind of looked like a problem during the Hopkins exhibition. We just can't go, you know, 5-6 minutes to scoring no points. Someone has to just step up, you know, and at least get a three, you know, just break up the scoring drought. Bri, what do you see? We will bomb if we go.
I'm afraid that you touched on everything, but I'm thinking that we bomb if fans don't show the F up. It's time. They've given us a good product. Yeah. They've given us a great product at this point. We got Paulson in there for his fourth season. You know, they're clearly doing everything they can to recruit. They're making Eagle Bank Arena fun. If you're not showing up, you're the problem. And I'm sorry for getting hyped, but it's a game day. It's about noon. You know, I got my blood is starting to boil. I have that feeling, that itch. You know, the scrimmage didn't do it for me. I want that place packed. Students better pack it. The alumni better be there, and let's cheer our ass off. These guys put in work all summer long to give us a good product, to go out there and win games. And they, each one of them tells me every single time that the fans make a massive difference, that they provide an extra bit of energy. It's not fake. They're not just saying that. If that was the case, they wouldn't care who showed up. We will bomb if this crowd continues to be lackluster, sit on their hands and tell people to be quiet. I mean, it's time for you to go to the nosebleeds. Let us who cheer come down low, and let's get rowdy.
I'm kind of finding some parallels between that and today being election day. You can't complain about Trump or whatever if you don't vote. You got to show up to the voting booth to really voice your opinion. You can't complain about Mason not being good, or the crowds being this, that, or the other. You know, there's no crowd experience, or EBA has lost its home court advantage. Can't complain if you don't show up. So a lot of parallels there. I think you hit on a few good points, but that's all I got left in terms of any type of predictions. Let's roll out just a final bold prediction. For me, I'm going to say that Otis Livingston puts up 35-plus points in a single game at some point. I think that, I don't think it's really that bold, but it's a lot of points, and I don't know. Do you have one last bold prediction to go out on?
I think that one of our freshmen sneaks into A-10 Freshman of the Year. I don't know who it is yet. I think JDS is probably... is it JDS? JDS, right? I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
I think he has probably your best chance to emerge. But I think one of those freshmen is going to be impactful enough that they sneak their way into, all A-10 freshmen. Now, obviously,
Mar was pretty silly last year as a freshman and didn't make it. Whoever pops off is going to have to pop the fuck off.
You wanted bold, and I just gave you bold. Okay? We haven't had one since Jenkins And that was, I believe in the CAA still. And,
it was.
And so,
competing,
you know,
with Nubs. So, yeah.
But that's my bold prediction. One of them.
All right. Well,
and we got ourselves a squad.
Right. All right. Well, that concludes, the predictions podcast. Hope everyone enjoyed it. But what I'm really looking forward to is tonight's game. So you got any closing, statements?
No, just a hashtag PhilEBA.
Let's fill it up.
Couple questions for y'all.
All right.
Nothing too long. What would you say your hopes for this season?
Really, I mean, I'm not just trying to be trite or anything. Like, the hopes is like you maximize your potential. You're as good as you can possibly be. And I say that because that's, our guys have to focus on that. You know, there's expectations, which is great. Because expectations mean people believe in you, and people have confidence in you, and people think you're pretty good. We want those expectations to fuel us, not like, you know, make us, you know, feel tight. But the big thing is, like, you know, you win the first game, really good opponent, you haven't arrived. If you lose the first game to a really good opponent, the world's not coming apart. Just keep getting better every day. I think if we do that, and if the chemistry's good and guys accept their roles, which are going to continue to evolve, like, we haven't figured that out yet, then I think, you know, we want to be a postseason team, you know, and I'm not backing away from that. But that's in March, you know.
Yeah.
You can't get to March in, you know, from October.
Exactly.
You
got
to go October, November.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to take one step at a time.
What excites you most about this team?
Well, really, they're a ton of fun to be around. Like they're good guys. And they work hard, and they're coachable. And so, like, that's – but then you have a chance to be as good as you can be, you know. And they've worked hard. They let me coach them hard. They're respectful. You know, I think
–
thank you. I think as fellow students, I hope they're like, hey, this is a group of guys that you want to support, as opposed to – maybe guys who think they're above, you know, like that. That don't. I want our guys to be like part of the core fabric of Mason, and I think they are. You know, they're not perfect, but I think they are. What excites me, you know, in terms of on the court, is, you know, I think we have enough. I don't think we're, you know, overloaded. You know, every game's going to be a challenge, but we have enough depth.
Mm-hmm.
We have enough size. They have enough experience. We've got versatility with the ability to score on the perimeter, scoring in the post. So that's, you know, it's, we got enough to work with. You know, I think we can play smaller, we can play bigger. You know, we got some versatility.
What would you say are some of the goals for the team this season specifically?
Again, we don't get into, like, numerical win this many games. Because if you do that, well, you can set your sights too low, you know, or you can say, you know, I think it's like, you do that, you lose, let's, our goal is like, be the best practice team in the country, you know, be the hardest working team in the country, the guys get better, because if that happens, then I think the potential is pretty good. So that's just me, we talk about embracing the process. One, you know, making today's practice, or, you know, making today good, making Monday's practice good, making Tuesday's practice good. Good?
Yep.
Perfect.
All right, thanks for coming out, guys.
What would you say are some of your team goals for this season?
Our team, one main one is definitely get better than we were last year. You know, every year we have the goal to get better, get like do better than we did last year. So that's one of our main goals. Our second goal is just like everybody get better individually to better help the team. So those are like our two main goals.
What would you say are some of your personal goals for this season, would you say?
My personal goal is to definitely raise my IQ and definitely just get bigger so I can be able to play more games and like be able to take hits and things like that.
Okay. You got any more questions for me?
Okay,
perfect. Thank you.
No problem.
What's up, Jair? Dominic Allegra, nice to meet you. I got a couple questions for y'all. Should be pretty short. What would you say are some of your team goals for this season?
Team goals, I would say for us to just make sure we bring it every single day. Every day, just bringing that energy, bringing that focus, just every single day. Okay. Not a day off, just bring it every day.
You got any personal goals for this season?
Personally, I would say help lead these guys each day. Like I said, making sure we bring energy. Me being an older guy, I got to step up to the plate and help lead these guys through what's to come for this season.
How's your foot feeling?
Feeling good.
Yeah?
You think you're
up to 100% yet?
Yeah, I'm up to 100%.
Okay, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I think that's it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Jair.
What's up, Otis?
How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Dominic Allegra, nice to meet you.
This
is my friend, Natalie Everett.
Otis, nice to meet you.
We just got a couple questions for you.
Yeah, what's up?
What would you say are some of your goals for this season?
Personal or like team?
Team goals.
Team goals? Yeah, want to improve every game. I feel like that's a big goal for us. And I would say win the regular season, you know, 8-10. You know, win the conference tournament and make a run in the NCAA tournament. And I feel like we want to do as good as we can in the non-conference. You know, get off to a really good start to give us some momentum going to conference.
Okay.
What are your personal goals?
Personal goals? Yeah. Just improve. You know, every game, become a better leader. You know, for my team. And you know, I have some big goals too. You know, first team. All conference, play of the year, you know, all that. But I know that comes from my teammates, my coaches, you know, helping me out and just being there for me. So, yeah, those are my goals.
You're going into your senior year. How do you think you can beat, like, a young team like this and possibly make it into the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, we have talent. You know, we have guys that, you know, like to work hard. And then, they're all competitive, you know, so it won't be, like, that hard. Like, I don't have to motivate them or anything. They're already motivated. But I would say just leading by example, being the first one to leave the gym, last one to leave, you know, just being vocal, you know, with them and just helping them out, you know, throughout practice, throughout the game.
Okay, perfect.